if you're a normal attender of New Hope, you ready for this? Go find your Bibles. Go get a Bible. Now, while they're searching their homes at home, if you're our guest today, that's not because we don't use the Bible around here. We do use the Bible. We just normally put all of our scripture on screen, and we do that for a couple of reasons. One is that we want everybody to be able to see. Not everybody has a Bible. We try to give Bibles when somebody doesn't have one, but not everybody has one, and so we put the scriptures on the screen. We also put it up because there's so many versions today. And, there could be five or six versions out there, and that way we're all kind of on the same page. But I thought I'd tease my folks just a little bit that are at home, and I hope you have found your Bible. Now let's see if you can find the book of Proverbs. And I see a few people Okay, now those of you that are using your phones, that's cheating. Okay, that's not the same thing as opening up some pages and finding it. But I hope you will find your Bible and get to Proverbs. And I'll come to that here in just a little bit. Let me just say again to all of you that are listening that are part of New Hope, I miss you. I long to be with you. We will be together again soon. For those of you that are here, I can't tell you how happy it makes me to see your face, to hear your voice. It makes my day to see you come in. If you're not a part of New Hope, then please let me say this. In fact, let me say this also. I noticed on Wednesday evening there were a lot of folks that tuned in on Wednesday. I think over 400 people, at least for a portion of Wednesday evening, they were tuned in to our Facebook Live. But we didn't advertise it at all. But I saw some names there. Some of you who commented, you were so very, very kind. And some folks that I haven't seen in a while, I want you to know that I miss you and I love you and I love your family. And I'd sure love to see you again someday, but I so much appreciate you tuning in with us. And then, of course, we have some guests here with us today as well. And we're glad you come to be a part of our family today. Now, these are strange days. Obviously, these are strange days. And it hasn't really been but about 3 or 4 weeks that we started being separated. But boy, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Does it seem that way to you? It seems to me so long since I've seen some of your faces and been able to talk to you in person. I've talked to you on the phone, and I try to communicate with emails, but it just seems that way. But I want you to know a couple of things this morning. First of all, please know this while you're sitting at home. Please know, and while you're here, God is aware of what's happening. God knows everything that is happening. He is aware. He is aware of what's happening in the world. He is aware of what's happening in the United States. He is aware of what's happening in Ohio. May I say, he's also aware of what's happening in your life.
Amen.
It's not that God does not care about you, that things are happening in your life. He is aware of it. And I'll talk a little bit about some of that here in just a little bit. But please know that God hasn't gone to sleep. God's not dead. He hasn't turned his back on anybody. God is can I just say it this way? God is where he's always been. The problem's not with God. The problem is we forgot where God was. We have forgotten as a people, as people of the globe, but as people of the United States and so on. Yeah, I think sometimes it's we that have forgotten that. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to know this morning is that this is going to end. This season that we're in, we're not in a permanent state right now. This season of our lives, this season that is going on in our world, is going to have an end. There will be a time where we will look back and we will remember these in the same way that we look back to 9/11. Yes?
Yes.
We look back. Everybody knows about 9. If you say 9/11, everybody knows what we're talking about, right? Unless you're very, very young. So when we talk about 9/11, what happened? Well, we went through a period of time, a season of time where everything changed. The normal changed. And it never went back to normal. A new normal took its place. But today, we all live with heightened security, don't we? We know if we're going to go fly on an airplane, we have to go through security. It's just a part of our lives now, and it's okay, yes? So it became our normal, and it became okay. And please know that when we come out of this time, there's going to be a new normal, but it will be okay. Now, I often quote something to folks when I'm counseling, maybe, or when I'm talking with somebody about a difficult time they're going in their lives, not just now, but even during regular times, when with regular difficulties that come along, I'll take a phrase out of Scripture, It's a phrase that God uses over and over and over. And I'll just tell you right up front, I do take it a little bit out of context, and I do add a little bit to it, but you'll understand here in just a minute. In fact, you can see it. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, and it came to pass. It came to pass during the reign of Uzziah. It came to pass during the time that David was in such and such. It came to pass when Jesus was talking with his disciples. So many times in Scripture, God simply begins something by saying, and it came to pass. But I've added this, and this is what I say to folks many times. It came to pass not to stay. Not to stay. This is not how it's always going to be. It came to pass not to stay. You know, this is so at the time like this, it doesn't do us any good. And even though the world is doing it, it doesn't do us any good to sit around and say, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Look, that's not going to profit any of us. Can I pose a better question for us right now? Let me pose a different question for you and for me. And that question is, what am I anchored to during this time? What was I anchored to prior to this time? You see, this is going to come and it's going to pass. And the people who are most at peace today, they have an anchor somewhere that the rest of the world does not have. They're anchored to a rock. Can you help me? It's not a what is that rock, it's a who is that rock, and who is it? Say it at home. It's Jesus Christ. Now, we know this because Jesus gave us a parable. One time, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, hey, if you want to be wise, you want to build your house. A wise man builds his house. He digs down through the sand, and he finds bedrock. And he builds on that rock. That's where he starts building. But the foolish man, he's lazy, and he just decides he's just going to build on top of the sand and the dirt. What happens when the flood comes? It washes all that sand and all that dirt away, and that house that was built on the sand falls. Now, Jesus was using the illustration Jesus was a master teacher. He was using an illustration that everybody understood about building a house, but he wasn't talking about building a house. He was talking about building your life. He was asking the question, have you considered? What have you built your life on? You know, somebody today who's built their lives on their job, please know, I mean this with all love and with all kindness, if you're listening at home or if you're here today and what you were building your life on, if what you had your happiness anchored to was your job, well, that may be in great jeopardy today, huh? If it was your health, if you say, well, man, as long as I've got my health, I can do this, and maybe, you know, if that was your, look, and that can go at any time, can it not? And this is something that we're being reminded of. But there's a foundation that Jesus was talking about. And in fact, Paul went on. Paul actually filled it in. Paul built on what Jesus said about a wise man builds on a rock. And Paul went on to tell us even more about that. He said, for no other foundation can anyone lay than is laid already, which is, say it with me, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is that foundation. When these difficult times come, the life that is built on Jesus Christ. I know that sounds real churchy, but it's true. The life that is built on Jesus Christ, the life that makes the principles of Jesus and what God told us to do and how God told us to live. Look, the person whose finances are built on the Bible, they're not stressing today like the rest of the world. If you're afraid, look, the whole world's afraid of dying today, yes? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if your eternal home is built on the faith you have in Jesus Christ, you have nothing to be afraid of. Are you afraid of going to heaven? Now look, we don't want to leave our home. We don't want to leave our family with you. We don't want to leave each other. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should be careless either. I'm not saying we should just run out and purposely contract coronavirus so that we can go to heaven. That's not the point. But the point is, there's no reason to fear if we're built on that. So somebody prior to 4 weeks ago whose foundation was Jesus Christ, they're not stressing out. Look, you all don't look stressed at all.
Amen.
What's wrong with you people? You should be terrified. You got a baby. You got a little baby. You should be terrified. You should be just biting your, do you have any fingernails? You bit them all off, didn't you? You should be just so, but Kim is just sitting down here. She's just sitting here just enjoying this and just having a good time. And she's bringing land. She's not afraid to bring land out here. Now, amen. She is not being foolish in any way. Please understand, she's as careful as she can be. But the point is, her foundation is Jesus Christ. She knows that if something happens to that little baby, who belongs to God anyway, by the way, she She knows she'll see heaven, heaven. So the point is not that we want to die, but the point is that if our foundation is in Jesus Christ, it is going to remain. And so I want to build on that today. So to build on that, build on what Paul said, build on what Jesus said, I want to take you back down to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, we'll get there in just a minute. And I know those of you at home, you think I forgot. And those of you who opened up here, you think I forgot. I didn't. I'll come to this in just a minute. Solomon was considered to be one of the wisest men who ever lived. Solomon wrote some things that he wrote everything down that he had said because God had given him this special wisdom. So he wrote it down. It was mainly the book of Proverbs is one of several books that he wrote. It's actually written to his son and his future generations. And he said, I want you to know the wise way to live. So it's a book of wisdom. It's a book of just really, really good sayings. And so Solomon came to his, when he's writing these things down, he wanted to use an illustration that is so perfect for our world today. So he came to his son. He said, son, I want you to know something. Here's what he said. He said, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked the Lord. But the righteous is an everlasting what? Foundation. Now, notice the first part of it. The word whirlwind, it's our word for tornado. It's the Bible word for tornado. And so he said, as the tornado passes, so is the wicked no more. So Solomon is using this illustration, and I want to use this illustration. So Solomon basically is talking to his son. He said, son, I want you to understand that you understand tornadoes. You understand what happens when a whirlwind comes through. He said, I want you to know, in your time as king, in your reign, either you personally or the people that you are the king over, they're going to experience a tornado. Tornadoes come through. And they don't stay around very long, do they? They come through and then they blow themselves out. He said, that's kind of how the wicked are. He said, the wicked live their lives for themselves. They're very selfish. They come through. They cause some damage. They go on. And the truth is, after that, nobody really cares about them, and certainly nobody likes them. That's what he was saying about the wicked. But I want to use the illustration he was using there. Because we all understand something else about tornadoes. That is, they come through, and they're very, very powerful. Solomon was actually telling his son, he's saying, son, you're going to be king. You're going to be able to order people around. You're going to be able to tell somebody, Kelly, I want you to do this. And Kelly's going to go do it. You're going to be able to order the people around in your life. He said, I want you to understand something. You can't order a tornado around. Tornado's not going to do what you say. Son, you're going to be the king over a great army. You can send that army to the borders of our land, and that army can defend from other armies invading and causing damage and hurting our people. But understand this, no army on the face of the earth can stop a tornado. What he was saying was, son, you will be, there are going to be times in your life where a calamity, a catastrophe is going to come. A force is going to come your way that there is nothing you can do to stop it. Isn't that kind of where we're at today, folks? Folks, listen, understand. We are living out this verse. There is a phenomenon, there is a virus and so forth and all these other things. They're going to come through the population of earth, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. Now, we're taking, again, that doesn't mean we don't try to take efforts to mitigate it and reduce its effectiveness. But folks, you can't stop a virus. You can't stop it from spreading. And our world, and Solomon is saying, look, there's something you need to understand. Tornadoes come. But here's what we all also understand. That is, tornadoes come. And yes, they blow out quickly. Boy, they sure leave a lot of damage in their wake, don't they? Yeah. I want to show you a picture here in just a minute. But, we've all seen the path of destruction of a tornado. In fact, let's go ahead and put it up here. Oh, and at home you can see this. See, what you're looking at here is a divided picture. This is a neighborhood in Joplin, Missouri, back in 2011. A Category F5 tornado passed through Joplin. The worst catastrophe by tornado in our nation's history, the most costly in lives and in property damage. But I want you to notice as you look at that, you can see that you can see this half and half. Now, you look at that and you say, oh, that must be before and after pictures. Wait. No. This is the damage the tornado did, but I want you to know when a tornado passes through, it can demolish a house. It can blow away wood and shingles and wiring and all those other things. It can even remove it completely or just demolish it, but it can't hurt a foundation. What you're looking at here is The same house is built exactly on the old foundation. You see, these folks were able to rebuild fairly quickly because they built on the same foundation that was already there. Are you with me? You see, when a tornado passes through, it can destroy everything except for whatever those things were anchored to, whatever those things were built upon. And so when we look at the words of Solomon, and he said, a tornado will sometimes pass through your life. The question to ask is not what can you see in your life, not how you spend all your time, not how much you enjoy this or how much you enjoy that or what you had for dinner or all these things, but what are you anchored to? What are you anchored to? Where is your foundation? Where is your foundation? As I look at this, you know, I can't imagine, though, can we go back to the picture for just a minute? I can't imagine the folks that lived in these homes coming up out of their basement, perhaps, and seeing the devastation. You know, when they got up on ground, they must have surely looked and thought, how can we ever have a life again? How can we ever have a home again? How can we ever put the pieces back together? Is my life ever going to be good again? But I want you to see that just a very short time, they were able to move into a brand new home. Why? Because they built on the old foundation. So, I want to take that illustration. I want to take that principle. I want to give us some lessons. just a few things this morning that I want to share with us, things that we should be thinking about now. In this time where something is passing through our lives, we need to ask ourselves, what am I anchored to? What should I be looking to in the future when it's time to rebuild my life? So let me say, you can rebuild your life on a righteous foundation. That's what's on the verse. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Now, fortunately, Peter came along later on, the Apostle John came along later and identified, you know, who the righteous is. You notice it says the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Peter said, you have an advocate in heaven with the Father. And it's in 1 John. He said, you have an advocate with the Father. And then he called him out. He said, his name is Jesus the righteous. You look that verse up later. Jesus is the righteous. He said, if you look at Jesus as your foundation, you can rebuild. Now, why am I saying that? That sounds very, very obvious. Because here's where I'm seeing some Christians these days. I'm seeing some Christians that are looking around and they're saying, I don't understand how God could let this happen. Listen, folks. God is not responsible for COVID-19. That's right. God did not create COVID-19. I tell you this, it's a man-made virus one way or the other. Either on purpose or because we have done so much. You know, when God created this world, he put man on it. He gave the earth to man. He said, I'm going to let you have dominion over this. And do you know we have done a terrible job of having dominion over this earth? Generation after generation after generation, we have messed up our air, we've messed up our water, we've messed up our soil, we put genetic, all kinds of modifications in things. We have wrecked our health, we have destroyed the beautiful earth that God put us in charge of because we treat it as if it was our own. We have treated this world like we own it instead of the God owns it. Just like we treat these bodies like we own them instead of God owning them. But the point is, you know, that is what has happened. God put some principles in place. God put some natural laws in place. When God created the world, he put some laws in place, like the law of gravity. Now look, Gary, you can say, well, you know what, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the law of gravity. Well, I dare you to prove it. Jump out that window right now.
Right now.
I can promise you this. You'll believe. Let your plane run out of fuel. Listen, you say, well, why doesn't God reach down and do something about COVID right now? God is responsible for this world. No, God is not responsible for this world. God gave us a world. We were supposed to be responsible for it. God does not reach down and interfere in this COVID virus in the same way that he doesn't reach down and catch a plane that is falling out of the sky. Now, I know there are some that say, but he could do that. Yes, he could. Please hear me. If you're listening in at home, you're not part of our church. Again, I mean this in love. I'm just trying to help by sharing the truth with you. If God were going to intervene in every instance like that to save our lives, then that means he also has to govern and dictate every move you make. Amen. And God loves you too much to be a dictator over your life. God didn't create you to be some little computer avatar that he plays a video game with. That's what it would be like. If God is going to control every action, everything that happens in this world, then he has to control all of our actions. So please understand, my point is, we can rebuild on a righteous foundation. This is not a time to be digging a new foundation. Folks, those folks in Joplin, Missouri, if they had wanted to, if they had said, "Hey, you know what? I'm just gonna dig a new foundation," they would have had to have done so much more work. They would have been so much longer putting their lives back together. Building on the right foundation is what it's all about. You can rebuild your life on the foundation. Let me just say this at last, and I'm gonna move on. But I may only get one opportunity to speak to some of you at home today. In fact, more than likely, this will be the only time some of you will ever listen to me. So let me just say, there are some people that are asking the question right now. I don't know why you're still here. I really don't. What was I talking about? This is what happens when you interrupt me, okay? I know. But there are a lot of people that are asking the question. They're saying, where was God when all this started? Where was God? Where was this God you say cares about us? Where was this God that is in control, that could do all this? Where was he when all this started? Can I just say that he's probably up in heaven asking a question himself, which is, where were all of you before this started? I was right here. I would have talked to you anytime you wanted. I would have helped you anytime you wanted. I would have been there. I would have always wanted to be there for you. You see, we ask the wrong question sometimes. We ask, you know, where is God in all this? This is not the time to build on a different foundation. This is the time to rebuild on the same foundation. I haven't spent too much time on that. Let me quickly give you number two. Secondly, may I say, and may I encourage you, rebuild only on a righteous foundation. Rebuild only on a righteous foundation. I wonder how many of us, before all this happened, there were some things in our lives that probably we were not able to really build on Jesus Christ. Maybe we had some habits, some bad habits that we had in our lives. And they weren't being built on Jesus Christ. There were things that, we had this. See, I think a lot of times we look at life, we say, well, you know what? Yeah, you know, I'll build most of my life on Jesus Christ. I'll build most of, I'll conduct myself most of the time the way that God would be pleased with. But, you know, there's a part of my life that I really would prefer God mind his own business. That's where a lot of people are, yes? I think I talked about that a while back. We want to follow Jesus. We say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. But we want to follow him at such a distance. Say, you go ahead, Jesus. I'll follow you, but I'm going to stay back here away so that you can't see who I'm with and what I'm doing. Because there's a part of my life that I want to sort of keep for myself. Listen, can I just say, you're going to rebuild your life anyway, yes? In just a few months, we're going to start rebuilding a life.
That's right.
This is a great time. This is a wonderful time to stop and consider, what have I been building my life on? Are there some things that I maybe could change, some things I could tweak about my life and say, you know, maybe this is a good time to say goodbye to some of those friends who aren't really friends.
Amen.
Maybe this is a time for me to make some changes in the people that I communicate with. The people that, the things that I, maybe this is a good time for me to change the way I communicate.
Amen.
Maybe this is a good time for me to start considering, are the parts of my life, is this a good time? If I'm going to rebuild my life anyway, maybe I should start building on a righteous foundation that can withstand this kind of catastrophe that comes through.
Amen.
I think maybe this is a good time for many of us. You know, many of us are going to live a different life than we're before. I would guess, in fact, I would hope, many of us are going to handle our finances a little differently. Hopefully God's people will begin to save a little more and spend a little less.
That's right.
Save a little more and spend a little less.
Amen.
A little bit less on me, a little bit more on Jesus.
Amen.
And others.
Amen.
And people who need it. Look, you know, one thing, can you imagine being one of these people that own these homes? When a tornado comes through, can you imagine coming up out of your basement and your home is nothing but a pile of rubble like this? Can I ask you a question? What are you going to go through that rubble and pick and try to find? Are you going to worry about your refrigerator? Are you going to worry about your big TV? What are you going to go after? Pictures? They don't do pictures anymore. You all know that, right? Showing your age. It's all digital now. It's all on the cloud, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. I know it's just something that I'm too old to understand. Yep. Look, but you're going to look for pictures, aren't you? You know, we would find out what's really important to us. We would find out what's really important to us if we had a tornado come through the level of our homes. And you're going to look for your family members first, right? You're going to look for pictures. You're going to look for mementos. You've got to look for your Bible. You're going to look for something. That kind of tells us what's really important in our life. Now, can I ask the question then? Does that match up with how we spend our money today, how we spend our time today? If my family is the first thing that I would look for, am I spending enough time with my family today? See, these are the things we ought to be thinking about at a time like this, because a calamity has come through and has caused, and it's definitely going to cause some devastation. These folks had to live temporarily for a while and so on, and it was not easy for them. But they were able to rebuild their homes. You're going to be able to rebuild your life. You're going to be able to rebuild your life. The question is, what are we going to do differently this time? We have this opportunity to rebuild. You know, Paul talked about, this reminds me of something that Paul said. He said, you know, your whole life is going to be built on really two categories of things, gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stone. Guess which one gets destroyed by a tornado? Mostly. It's the wood, hay, and stone, right? That's what we see. We see a pile of wood here. I wonder if this is kind of how our lives look. If we really step back and say, what have I really done with my life? How do I spend most of my time? What do I put my money into? Does it look like that? I can look up there and I can see parts of my life. I can see parts of my life that are no longer really that important to me. I hope you can as well. So, I said, we can rebuild on a righteous foundation. We should build only on a righteous foundation. And can I just say in closing then, lastly, you can build a better life than you built before. When we get through this season of our lives, do you realize you can have a better life going forward than you have right now? Than you had before this all started.
Amen.
Look, those folks on that, when they rebuild those homes, they didn't go back and what we see right here, this isn't what their homes looked like before, probably. They used the same foundation, but you know they probably upgraded some things, yes? They took that insurance money, they get maybe a little nicer kitchen. Did you ever walk around your house and say, man, I wish if I could ever redo this, this is how I would do it. They got that opportunity. Do you know that this crisis that we're all in is giving you that exact opportunity right now? We all have to find a new normal, don't we? What is that new normal going to look like? Could you upgrade some things in your life? Get rid of some things that shouldn't be there. Take some things that were built, that we were building out in our yard, and they were sinking, and they were bad anyway, and the tornado blew them away, and that's great. And some of this thing was forced upon us. Maybe this crisis that we're all in, this virus and the economy tanking and all these things, maybe that has taken some things out of our lives that might be very, very good for us.
Amen.
To be gone. Don't bring them back in. Don't bring them back in. I have to believe there probably are some folks battling addiction. Maybe you don't have the money for it right now. Great time to get sober.
Amen.
Great time to get sober. It's a great time to repair some relationships. You know, we get ourselves in trouble many times with relationships with face-to-face. Well, now you can't do face-to-face. So maybe try to work on some relationships over the phone. This is a good time to rebuild. We can rebuild better than it was before. But you know what people really love to do? You know, people, whenever somebody, has any of you built a new home? You ever built a brand new home? Raise your hand. Gary used to build homes for people all the time. You probably could verify this for me, and if you can't, if you're willing to lie, go ahead, and if you can't lie, then just keep quiet. Do you know what the number one thing is people say when they're building a home that they want to do? I want to invite people into their homes. I just can't wait to get my new home built because I want to invite all my friends over. I want to invite people into my home. Can I just say to you, when you get ready to rebuild your life, this would be a really great time to invite people in. Invite people into your life. Invite people to be a part of the things that you enjoy, and that includes church. Invite people to come. Look, invite your friends and family to be a part of this Facebook Live and all that. And may I say to those of you, maybe you're listening and you you feel like you're going through life all alone, you don't have to do that. We would love for you to be a part of our family. Now, right now, you can't necessarily come and be physically here on this property. But begin right now to become a part of this family. Stay connected to us this way. Invite people into your life. When this is all over, we're going to resume our normal ministry, whatever that new normal is. We will go back to vintage Bible study for our old folks on Sunday mornings. Older folks, sorry. Yeah, that's who's tuning in at home. And it's live, too, so I can't go back and edit it like I normally do. Normally, they're back there. It's like, I've got to edit it out. They mark the time down. Our agent, our wise people, our veteran Christians.
More matures.
Our the people we look up to. The people who pay most of the bills around here. The tither. Never mind. So, look, we're gonna go back to that. We're going to go back to our kids program downstairs. We're going to go back to having a nursery downstairs. We're going to go back to we're going to go back to playing darts, and playing cards, and all those things that we did before. We're going to continue to do these. And I encourage you to have your all the other things. We're going to get teenagers, all this stuff. We will get back to all that, but don't wait until then to invite people into your life. Start right now. You're getting ready to restart your life. We're all getting ready to rebuild a life. Can I just make a suggestion? Rebuild it this time on Jesus Christ. Use this time to look at it and say, you know what? Maybe you're at home, maybe you're here, and this would resonate with you. Maybe your testimony is, yeah, I've been doing this on my own. I thought I had life figured out. I thought I was doing pretty well. I had a decent job. Bills paid, doing this, doing that. Now I realize all those things that I thought my happiness was based on, my job, my money, my 401k, my health, the possibilities here, the possibilities there. Now suddenly those don't seem like enough to make me number three, to give me confidence in my life. I want you to know, Jesus is standing ready to be your foundation.
Amen.
He will be the foundation that you build everything else on. And by the way, if you think, well, man, I'd have to give up all my fun. Nobody has more fun than we have around here. I promise you that. But the difference is we can wake up the next morning. Easily. Well, not so easily. But we can wake up. And we laugh. And we joke. And we go away feeling so much better. And it would feel so much better if you were a part. It'd be so much better if you were a part of it. If you're here this morning, we and know where you're listening in. We do something here called an invitation. We always have an invitation because there is no point in giving people truth and not giving them an opportunity to do something with it. The invitation this morning is this. First of all, if you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, when you're looking to rebuild after all this is over, are there some changes maybe we ought to make? Are there some things that we ought to say, you know, I've been building this sort of on my own. And this is not really something that I know this is not really where God wants me, what he wants me doing. This would be a great time to say, let's make some changes. It'd be a great time to make some changes in homes. But if all my talk this morning, if you're listening and all my talk is kind of falling on you, and you're saying, I don't really understand this. What do you mean Jesus is my foundation? Let me make it crystal clear for you. We have a sin problem. We all have sinned in the eyes of God. That just simply means we have done things we shouldn't do. I don't think anybody would be bold enough or stupid enough to disagree with that. To say that you've never done anything you shouldn't do. We have a sin problem. Jesus Christ looked at us and he realized we could not fix that sin problem on our own. So he came to this earth and he allowed himself to be killed. He became our sin payment. He took it upon himself, and then he extended to us a free gift of salvation. He said, if you will trust me, I will give you a home. I will forgive your sins. I'll take you just the way you are. Forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. And all he's saying to us this morning is if you would let me, if I will take you just the way you are, forgive your sins, give you a home in heaven. You don't need to fear death. But not only that, I'll be the foundation of your life now. You build your financial life in the future on the principles of God, you will find great success. You will recover faster than you know. You build your health, you build your family, you build all these, all the principles, all the things we do in life, we will build them on the principles that God tells us to build them on. We will find great success in life.